This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the, hey Marge, did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Running a growing business means getting the insights you need wherever you are. With Shopify's single dashboard, you can manage orders, shipping, and payments from anywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the United States. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/ifanboy, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/ifanboy now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/ifanboy. You are listening to the iFanboy Pick of the Week podcast, episode 186, sponsored by DCBS and Netflix.
Yeah, Spider-Man and Freeze in full effect.
You ready, Ron?
I'm ready.
You ready, dude?
I'm ready, Slick. Are you?
Oh, yeah. Take it down.
Girl, I must warn you. Something strange in my mind.
Yeah. Yo.
Situation is.
Hey, welcome to the iFanboy.com Pick of the Week podcast. It's episode 186. My name is Connor Kilpatrick. I'm here with Josh Flanagan.
Hello.
And Ron Richards.
Doing the creepy voice.
We are at iFanboy.com. We like comics. We read comics. Every week we read a bunch of comics. Then one of us decides which ones they like the best. They make that their pick of the week. They write about it on the website. We talk about it on this show. And then we talk about other books of the week and other topics of interest and all stuff like that. And before we get started, we want to announce that you should listen all the way through the show, because at the end we're going to announce another random giveaway winner. We've been doing these random giveaways to members, iFanboy members, and we've been doing that for a while. And we got another one today. They got a big, nice package they're going to win. And we'll announce it at the end of the show. And Josh has some news about another giveaway that's coming up.
We're setting up for another big giveaway. As you know, we had a maybe you don't know, but we gave away an original page of Mike Allred art along with a bunch of other stuff. And we have another big prize pack of stuff that we're going to be giving away in 2 weeks. So I guess if you sign up for your iFanboy membership, if you haven't yet, by June 12th, then you will be eligible. We'll be giving it away on this show directly after that. And the prize is going to be a Walking Dead compendium, which is the first 48 issues of Walking Dead, and a really nice single book, sort of like the Big Bone One edition, plus two Joe Casey books, each signed by Joe Casey. So it's Godland Volume 1 and Nixon's Pals, and that will be one prize pack. And then the other prize pack will be also those two Joe Casey books without the Walking Dead compendium. So it's a cool little bunch of comics, really good stuff, all from Image. Yes, Image. But that is if you are an iFanboy member, and the reason that we're bringing it right now at the top of the show is because we need to get more members. The people who've signed up, you are our favorite people in the world, and I mean, we can't say how much we appreciate it, but everybody else, if you've been thinking about doing it, or just get over to iFanboy.com/store and sign up. You can be $4 a month or $42 a year, or you can do at a higher level at $10 a month or $100 a year, and anybody who signs up for any of that is eligible for these prizes that we're going to be giving away randomly. Like you said, there's going to be some at the end of the show, but you'll also get a prize pack that's got a random comic and stickers and stuff. And the higher level, the $10 or $100 a month, gets an iFanboy member t-shirt. And again, this is so we can keep going at the same rate we are. We have a membership goal, like an amount of people that we need to keep going the same way we are, and we're not even halfway there, and
we're close to halfway there, but yeah, we're not where we need to be. Yeah, exactly.
So you know, like we said, it's one comic book a month. That's a really easy way to look at it. And if this is a part of your life, we want to keep it going in the same way, and we really appreciate it, and thank you very much. And now just show.
Anyway, it's important to note that everybody who previously signed up for a member is eligible for the giveaway in 2 weeks. So you don't need to do anything if you've already signed up.
Right.
So.
Unless you've already won, then you're not eligible.
Right. Yes. Yeah.
For a little while.
So we're going to start the show now. Remember, this is a review show, so there's going to be spoilers. We're going to talk about the books. So if you haven't read your books yet, pause the show, come back later. It saves you the aggravation, us having to read the angry emails. So Ron,
yes,
you had the pick of the week.
Man,
every couple of months, one of us gets the pick of the week, and when it's your week, and then it's my fault because it was a short week with Memorial Day, and the comics came out on Thursday, and I printed my pull list, and I went to the store, and I didn't actually look at the pull list, and then I got to the store, and I'm holding a stack of like 19 books, and I went, oh God, and the thing was is that it was like a low level oh God, like, oh, there's a lot of books. And so then I go to dinner and I come home, I start reading my books. And the way I read my books is I read the ones I'm, kind of most excited for at the top, and then go downwards. It's different from you guys. Let's not get into that now. But that's personally how I do it. And in this particular case, I read a comic, I put it down, I'm like, oh, well, that's going to be the pick. And then the next one, I'm like, oh, well, that's going to be the pick. And the next one, I'm like, well, that's going to be the pick. And I was like, oh, I'm screwed. I'm totally screwed.
So, it was a great week of comics.
It was a great week.
I gave out fives like candy. Like, yeah. I had a really, like, one of those, I love reading comics kind of weeks, Yeah. I'm really excited about it. I loved this week of comics.
I'm really tough with the fives, and I was the same way. I gave out a bunch of fives.
So. I gave one. You people are soft.
Yeah. Well, anyway,
you're actually happy to be reading comics. That's what it is.
That's part of the whole pick. So not to put it off anymore. The pick of the week was this one shot, Spider-Man: The Short Halloween, and written by Bill Hader and Seth Meyers of Saturday Night Live fame, and drawn by Kevin Maguire. And if I had to sum up how I felt after reading this comic in one sentence, Connor, would be exactly what you said. It will be, I'm happy reading comics. Like, comics, reading this comic made me happy. And the reason why is because it was just they nailed it. The pitch came down the center of the plate, and they knocked it out of the park. Every cliche you can think about for nailing it, they nailed it. And it's kind of with bittersweet irony because if you go to iFanboy.com and read the pick of the week review, I kind of recounted this. Like when they announced at the New York Comic Con that Hader and Myers were going to be writing a comic, I'll be honest, I totally rolled my eyes and went, oh. More star fucking, somebody from Hollywood or somebody, some celebrity, and we're gonna put Colbert on the cover too, and and let's throw Obama on there while we're at it. So admittedly, I went into this going, kind of somewhat biased in that, like, I didn't think that these guys, they're on Saturday Night Live. Who says they should be allowed to write a comic? Wow, that's so comic nerdy. I can't believe I just uttered those words.
So insular.
So not only that, so that's how I felt about it. And I completely forgot about it after February. I forgot that this comic existed. And then when the pull list came out this week, I saw it on the list of comics coming out, and I saw the title. And I saw that it's called The Short Halloween. I was like, oh, really? We're gonna take a swipe at Batman with this. You're one shot in comics, and you're gonna, do that. I was like, come on.
You actually just did a Seth Meyers routine. So that's
You
did that in your pick of the week. It was awesome.
I did. Yeah, I did. You got that. So that's how I felt on Monday or Tuesday, whenever the list went up. Then it came to my attention, and I don't know how I misread all this, that Kevin fucking Maguire drew it.
Right.
And that's when I went, oh damn, I'm gonna have to look at it, aren't I? Because those of you who listen to the show know us, know that both Connor and I are huge Kevin Maguire fans. Huge.
He never draws.
And he never draws. And he's got such talent. And if you go read the Modern Masters, the Tomorrow's book with him, it's like this – it makes you want to cry because the guy's got so much talent. And he's just like, that's this thing I do.
You'd rather be a filmmaker.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, oh, my God, so good. So I go to the store. I wasn't planning on buying it. I picked it up. I flipped it through, and I saw some of the panels, and I saw some of the Kevin Maguire facial expressions, and I saw a couple of great splash pages, and I said, oh, well, I gotta buy it. So admittedly, I read it. It was probably about third or fourth in my stack because I was excited for the Maguire art. And when I finished reading it, I sat down, and I said, man, this is awesome. This is great. I couldn't believe how well they did. And I really thought about it, and I was like, I feel bad that I kind of dismissed Bill Hader and Seth Meyers, because I realized for, 8 months of the year, they write comedy sketches every week. Like, they're not just comedians and actors. They actually write those sketches, and even if it's the unfunny sketch at 12:45, that's way better than anything I'm going to write.
Oh, the 12:45 one is great.
Yeah, well, yeah, true. But even – okay, the sketch at 12:10 or whatever.
The one that follows – I don't like the end of the second. Sketch. Yeah, the third sketch is a piece of shit, and they don't know how to end it. And then Keenan just makes a face.
Yeah, yeah. But even then, and you guys know me. That's better than anything I could write, right? I mean, like that. Like these guys can write.
But the point is, they're writers. They're not just actors. It's not like Freddie Prinze Jr. doing a comic. It's guys who write for a living.
Exactly.
Hey. And he worked on his pilot for the show Freddie. I know that. It was a horrible show, and he can't act. But God damn it, did he work on the writing?
It's gonna be at 24 next year.
Do you know who is the best part of that show, by the way, Ron?
Who?
Brian Green, who's no longer Austin Green.
He was the only part of that show. He was on Connor Chronicles now, wasn't he?
He was actually really, really funny. Anyway.
He was great, and he was great in Domino as himself. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do. I love that movie.
I love that movie. Anyway, so I was blown away by how well they could write. You got great Kevin Maguire art, and all in all, the book was fantastic. Essentially what it is it's, like I said, it's a one-shot. I don't really know why they're doing a Halloween story in June, but hey, go figure. Basically, the premise of the book is that there's a regular guy who's dressed up like Spider-Man for Halloween. At the same time, Spider-Man is chasing a D-list wannabe criminal. And sure enough, the guy dressed up like Spider-Man for Halloween gets drunk and passes out at the same place where Spider-Man gets knocked down by this villain, and we get a mistaken identity. And the drunk guy's buddies take Peter Parker home with them, and the villain takes the Spider-Man imposter with him because he thinks he's captured Spider-Man. And hilarity ensues.
I thought it was really funny. I thought they did a really good job, not just making it funny because you'd expect it to be funny, but also like it had a lot of heart, and I thought the last scene was really touching.
Well, it was a Spider-Man comic.
Yep.
I mean, it was totally done in the voice of a classic Spider-Man comic, which is, you know, which is great. Like you said, it has heart, and even like Spider-Man's somewhat barely in it, if you think about it. And it's really kind of focuses on the imposter's friends and this girlfriend and this cut-rate villain. And every scene was nailed. The dialogue was flowed really freely and easily. There were cultural references, like it's Halloween, so like the two friends, one's dressed up like Hunter S. Thompson, the other one's dressed up like Simon Pegg from Shaun of the Dead, and there are jokes about that, but like they didn't feel forced or take you out of the story. Like it felt like this story could take place this year, this Halloween, you know, and it just worked on every level.
One of the things I really liked about this, and also with Wolverine, which we'll talk about later, is that both of those books felt like a throwback to an era of comics before everyone was so continuity obsessed, where you could just tell a story, you could tell a one-off story, or you could tell a future story, or you could tell a story that wasn't so obsessed with the current machinations of the universe.
Well, somebody on the board said they didn't like your pick, and they said, well, this story doesn't even matter. And I was like, really? What is that? So
that's usually the first question, but that's what I liked about it is, you know, you used to be able to do that kind of things and not worry about every other book in the universe and how it affects your story. You could just tell a funny story, or you could tell a story you wanted to tell and not have to worry. And I really liked that aspect of it. It felt like a throwback.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, the story doesn't matter. Like, guess what? None of these stories matter. like even the ones in continuity, they just reset it anyway.
It is all made up.
Yeah, sure. And by the way, Ron just said that.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I know it. Don't get me wrong. I like the continuity. I like playing the continuity game. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't. And then on top of the great story, on top of the great dialogue, just Kevin Maguire, like, this might be the best work I've seen him do in a long time. And I know I'm gushing a little bit here, but there was some...
No, it's great. Well, first of all, he's perfect for this kind of script because his characters really act. And when you have a lot of dialogue and a lot of comedy and stuff, it's important that the characters can act in the page. But I also feel kind of bad because... It seems like he's been pigeonholed now into the comedy comic role.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, he started that way, and so, of course, and he's good at it, but like his Batman Confidential arc was basically a comedy arc.
Yep.
And before that, he did the Defenders story, which is basically Justice League in the Marvel Universe. Yep. And before that, he did the Justice League, the return, you know, the brief return to the Justice League International characters. So he's really only doing, like, goofy scripts, which is fine, but he used to do regular.
Yeah, he did a lot of stuff with Wildstorm, and yeah. Yeah, you that is a good point, but it totally works here. Like the other normal people dressed up like the Green Goblin and Dr. Octopus for Halloween, like they looked great. It looked
like people wearing costumes, but yep. Looking kind of like the people. And then when they had the Spider-Man as Woozy and saw them as the real characters, they were really scary. He's just such a fantastic artist.
And what I thought was really interesting was that, you know, there's a great splash page, like when Spider-Man gets knocked out and when he falls into the alley, like that's a great dynamic kind of, you know, fluid splash page, you know, with the shaded Spider-Man to show the fall and things like that. But then for the most part, the layouts were really somewhat simple, but effective. You know, right. they were 9-panel grids or 4-panel grids or whatever, and they got the job done. And it shows that you don't need to go overboard with the layouts in order to tell the story really well.
I have to admit that when I finished Wolverine, I thought, wow, there's no way Ron's not picking that. But then when I saw the pick, I said, you know what, that makes sense, because I also gave it a 5. It was totally pick-worthy.
Yeah, this is totally a 5 issue. This is totally number 5. Josh, did you read this or no?
Yeah.
Okay, did you like it? Or
it was okay.
You don't like Spider-Man.
I'm starting to think that I don't.
Yeah, I know.
It's starting to become more clear. I mean, like, it was okay. Like, the things that you mentioned, it felt a little like guys who weren't used to using the comic book form, but not bad in any way. I think when you lay out what the plot is and you say it, like, you know, like, well, this happens and this, and like, oh, that's a good plot. It made, like, it was It was good. It was okay. I wasn't tickled by it in the same way that you guys were. But also, I'm not a giant Kevin Maguire fan. I mean, I don't think he's bad. I recognize the talent and everything. It's just not my thing. But I don't know. It was okay.
Well, then, I mean, as not a Spider-Man fan, it's probably will dismay you that the other book that had me hemming and hawing.
So excited to talk about Spider-Man more.
The Amazing Spider-Man number 595, which is the first issue of the story arc with Phil Jimenez on art and Joe Kelly writing, and Andy Lanning inking, by the way. I know he always thinks Phil, but the touch of Lanning. Yeah. Like, holy crap, they bring it.
I'm sorry, but once again, is Joe Kelly still on his, like, he's juicing.
It's holy crap, did they bring it. I mean, and am I alone here? But, like, this book, I gave this one 5 stars, too. Yeah, it's been a while since I've seen Jimenez's art, and I thought it was just totally on. And Joe Kelly, from the get-go, started the first issue of a 5-issue story arc, a story with weight and heaviness to it, and just like it's a goblin story, as you tell by the cover. And after I read this, I'm like, oh, this is awesome. This is great. I love it. This is going to be the pick of the week. But it wasn't.
It was very good. I enjoyed it. Jimenez is great, and he doesn't draw enough either. Another guy that doesn't draw enough either. I don't know what he's been doing, but he used to be a fairly regular guy. I don't know what he's been working on, but
yeah, I don't know either. I think movie stuff.
Yeah, I think so too. I think he's doing storyboarding. But
wasn't he teaching too? I think he was teaching.
It was really good. I think these Dark Reign tie-ins are good because Spider-Man is such a part of Norman Osborn's life that it would be silly not to have him be part of the Dark Reign stuff, and having him want to take on finally Norman was a good way to go. And every little aspect of it was good. Yep. You know, it was another solid Spider-Man book, but Joe Kelly's stuff was good.
There were two pages in particular that blew me away. The page when, in the story, Peter and Harry Osborn are at the mayor's mansion with J. Jonah Jameson, because Aunt May and J. Jonah Jameson's father are getting married. And so they're having a dinner to celebrate it. And they open the door into the dining room, and there's Norman holding a glass.
Great page.
And in the bonus material at the back of the Short Halloween, if you didn't read that, go check it out. There's a preview of this, and Joe Kelly said that he loves this page too because it reminds him of the Vader scene in Empire when they're in Cloud City and they go into the dinner and there's Vader.
Right.
Like, it totally nailed that. And then there's towards the end when Spider-Man grabs Norman and it's the homage to the classic Green Goblin with Spider-Man roped up image. Right. They're just beautiful. They're just great. I love Phil's art. Yeah,
it's great pages.
Yeah.
Although, wasn't the blonde reporter dating Robbie's son?
I think so. But maybe they ended it. Who knows? We don't know.
Just seeing.
Yeah. Great story. Just great story.
It was very good. Yeah. I'm looking forward to the rest of the arc. It's always better when Norman Osborn's interesting as a whole sort of Marvel villain, but it's always better when he's fighting Spider-Man. There's always more weight to it.
Yeah. Totally. So, Amazing Spider-Man 595 is the first issue of a 5-issue arc that I strongly urge everybody. If you're curious about Spider-Man, get on here. It's a good time for Spider-Man.
According to the cover for 596, Jimenez is not drawing it.
Oh, that sucks. Who is it?
I just got it out of the way. Sorry, I don't remember, but it wasn't him. Name I don't recognize.
Crap.
That I don't want to bring you. That was like my revenge.
Yeah. Way to go, jerk.
Let me take you down off that cloud, buddy.
Yeah,
you're a downer this week.
It's okay because I just opened Spider-Man and I saw the Captain America 600 ad with female Bucky and I got downer even more. So
yeah, that's gonna bring everyone down.
Green Lantern 41. I have admittedly on a high comic high this week, but I really liked Green Lantern 41 and I liked it more than any issue I've read in a Green Lantern of a while.
You know what's really funny is because I Green Lantern wasn't in the running for pick of the week and I thought it was really good, but I thought it was okay, but I was shocked at the ending.
Well, yes. Hal Jordan gets his arm chopped off, so that's kind of shocking.
I was totally shocked at the end. Because the thing is that, like, Geoff Johns is good, but I never really connect him with the shocking ending guy, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
And that was a shocking end.
Yeah.
Basically, Agent Orange or Larfleeze chops off Hal's hand to get the blue ring, which I was like, wow, that was brutal.
I you know what's funny is that I think a couple of weeks ago Connor said this is moving too slow, and then last week I was like, you know what, no, I'm having fun with it. And this week I was like, all right, get on with it.
Yeah, I felt that too.
I mean, just because like I totally got the point. He's greedy. Yeah. It does feel like this is a little this is a little decompressed maybe for me. And I think I will say that Tan, whichever one he is,
Philip,
it works for this story.
I can't stand it.
I know you can't, but like, and this is not my favorite style, but in this sort of have these big flowy pages with all these energy constructs and stuff, and it pretty much works for it. But I'll be cool with this moving on. And it looks like at the end,
both Tans this week too. Why do they have to double tan us?
Are they related? Or they just have the same last name?
Dual tanning. But yeah, I mean, like at the end, you're like, well, something certainly happened, and they're gonna have to deal with it. Although, you know, he's a Green Lantern, so they'll fix him up. I mean, unless he's gonna have Luke Hand now. That would be awesome.
Like, what are they going to do? Like, are they going to have Hal with a stub? Or a hook?
Like Aquaman?
He could always have a construct hand.
Right, but you got to keep it up. I mean,
dude,
moment, so.
That's the Alice.
Well, that's what the actual Blue Lantern part is. The blue is active ingredient.
Priapism.
Yeah. No, what's the original one that I can't think of right
Viagra.
Now?
Viagra.
Viagra, yeah.
That was the worst joke ever.
Wow, it's like, I was going to say, we've devolved into Viagra jokes.
It would have been fine if I'd just gotten it out, but I didn't.
Yeah.
That's what
she
said.
Is also what she said. What I liked about this issue was that you got to see what was going on with other people besides just Larfleeze and Hal. I liked seeing what was happening with Jon Stewart and Sinestro and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, I think I came around from being bored and now back to being excited. And I liked seeing his origin was also made it more interesting, finding out what was behind him. And I always like knowing the Guardians are more sinister than they appear to be.
Yeah, yeah. I like how the Manhunt.
But I'm also ready to move on too. I just really enjoyed it though.
Yeah, no. Yeah. You and I are on opposite poles at this point of our lives. We will disagree.
I like comics. That's what the difference is.
I don't not like comics. I'm reading old comics like right now and quite enjoying them. Anyway.
Well, there's no way you couldn't have not liked Wolverine number 72, which, to all the haters out there, it's a 5-star book in my mind, was a contender for Pick of the Week, and probably the best issue of all the Old Man Logan story so far.
I didn't like it.
Really?
No, I'm totally shitting you. I gave it 5 stars. Are you kidding me? This would have been my Pick of the Week. Snick, come on.
Oh my God, this was good.
And you gotta
know
how
really,
much,
really good.
You gotta know how much McNiven must have been like, oh, there's a page. There's a 2-page spread I can draw.
Oh my God! This was
funny because even though we all knew this was happening, we from the first issue we all knew that the penultimate scene would be him popping the claws. Finally, it still had a lot of resonance, and it was still very dramatic, and it was still very like, "Oh shit, what's gonna happen now?" And I loved old crazy Red Skull walking around in Captain America's uniform. That was so creepy and demented that it was perfect.
Oh, and I loved all the hero costumes and accoutrements, you know, in glass in the White House or wherever they are. I mean, and just looking at that one panel where you could see it all and trying to make out whose mask was what and stuff like that. Oh, it was great.
It was.
Still, I mean, the creepiness was really the thing. And although the only weird thing I thought was,
I got a weird thing.
They made it Bucky, which is not as powerful as if it's Steve.
Well, Steve's dead. Steve's already dead.
Right, but this is an alternate future where you can have anything be the case.
But his jumping off point was clearly from now.
Yeah.
So he went
exactly.
With it. Which, if I'm working with Marvel and I'm trying to be the team player, I get that. Like, that's the reality as it is. So go with it. Or maybe that tells us that Steve's never coming back.
You know that if it's Steve, everybody freak out, be like, see, Steve's coming back.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was okay with it. The when Logan grabs the shield and Skull reacts to it. Oh God, that was great.
You know, the only thing that sort of struck me, I think, I was reading it this time, and I for some reason I really appreciate that they didn't give him Wolverine hair. But I was kind of looking. I'm going, he's really not Wolverine at all here. Like he's called that, and he's kind of acting like that. But I was like, he looks kind of big. Like he looks like he's 6'4". You know, like he's just a big dude. But that might just be maybe the skull is tiny also because he's old.
Well, the skull's, but they've also drawn him big since 2000, since the movie came out.
Yeah, I know. I want him to be little.
He's
in
not.
My head.
He's never gonna be little.
But it was a really fun issue. There was no part of it that wasn't fun, and it's the best of Mark Miller to me. Because in my mind, like, there's all sorts of things that I can tell. I know what he's doing. Like, you can see he goes for the big moments over and over again, and there's not a ton going on behind it. But if he did it well enough, he did it fun enough that you just don't care.
Yeah, and the thing about it, really what made it not the Pick of the Week for me, if anything, was that, and I don't mean this in a bad way, is that, and this kind of goes back last week when we were talking about with Kirkman, I did go back and read the art and look at the art and drink it in and absorb it, but the first read went really quickly. Mm-hmm. It's like all these issues have been really fast reads.
I did notice like a lot of big 4-panel pages, things like that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then on top of that, after the skull fight, once he said full speed back to California, I knew exactly what was waiting.
Yes, me too.
Yeah, I mean,
but that's not necessarily a bad thing. You have to always know what's waiting at the end of a story.
It's a very
matter of how you get there.
Not Hal getting his hand cut off. I didn't see that coming.
No,
that's not the end of the story.
But this is the way that this story is. It's fairly formulaic, I suppose. And the thing is, and what I say in that way is, if you're writing a story like you have a decision to make, like, okay, he's got the money, he can't win.
Right.
So what's the worst thing you can do to him? Well,
yeah, no, I understand that. Yeah, I get it. But it was just I groaned a little. Yeah.
No,
yeah.
I know what you mean. I had the same thought, but I was like, you know, he had no other choice he could make as a writer, I suppose.
Yeah. But damn, it was good. And also, I'm pissed that it's the finale isn't in the next issue, but whatever. I'm not going to get into that again.
It'll be a fantastic trade when it's out, and I will gleefully buy it and read it over and over because it's one of the best Wolverine stories I've read in a while.
Yeah, totally. It was great.
And it's Steve McNiven.
Sullied by stupid publishing schedule.
Whatever. Steve McNiven takes a long time
and
to draw
this,
it.
And Steve McNiven makes a draw. It'll be fine. In a year, you won't remember.
Nope.
Oh, I will. Trade. Oh, I will. I'm not going to forget. Never forget. I'm going to make a bumper sticker to put in my car.
A lot
never
of people
forget.
Say that about the World Trade Center or World War II. Ron, comic lateness.
Wolverine 73.
He's got a whole biker gang that he travels with, and on top of all their do-rags, this is Never Forget, and it just says number 73.
With three claws behind it.
Yeah. It's really lame. Hey, if I wanted to get comic books delivered to my house because I had a crappy store or it was too far away, I think I would go to Discount Comic Book Service. That's what I'm saying. Monthly specials up to 75% off, 40% off major publishers. They have a flat rate shipping of $5.95 for all U.S. orders. You can get anything that is in previews. There are over 5,400 trade paperbacks in stock and available for order. I bet there's even more than that now. And you can track your orders online. So if you're ever, you wake up in a sweat at 3:30 in the morning, where is my Ghost Rider, you'd be saying. And that's where you would check it at, dcbservice.com. We want to thank them for sponsoring the show and their fine service.
Lovely. Nova number 25. If I could marry a comic book series, it would be Nova.
I would fight you for it. I would stand at the, they would say the part, they'd say, does anybody here have an objection to this marriage? And I would come rushing in. I was like,
the graduate. Me.
And me. You bang on the glass and just go, Nova! Nova!
World mind!
You run out together and jump on a bus.
And then at the end, Nova would roll. Would look oddly at the camera very quickly before we went to credits.
Yep, exactly.
Did they make a mistake? I don't know. something about the book something.
Oh, hundreds of people won't get this reference.
Does that mean Guardians of the Galaxy tries to seduce you before you go to the wedding?
Everybody's like, what are they talking about? Austin Powers wasn't that good. No, was it Wayne's World? Which one of those did it? Anyway.
It was Wayne's World.
Yeah.
This book was awesome. There's a new artist on it who wasn't on it before. And at the end, I was just like, fist in the air, kind of, hell yeah.
So Nova's back as Nova Prime. World Mind is fixed. We got a new personality for World Mind of the old Nova, the Kree woman who died briefly earlier in the series, and everything is awesome.
Yeah, that's basically awesome.
Seems like there's never a regular artist in this book.
No, and that's okay. This book art, the art for some reason the art isn't the thing that sells it. Like the art is yeoman.
It works.
Yeah, the art works. Yeah, exactly. So.
And it's
interesting that there's no one regular on it. That's all.
It probably doesn't sell all that much that it's worth it, but at the same time, like, it kind of fits with like the pulpy style of it. Like you just like it works for it. Who knows why? You know, like how some British shows look good because they're not shot in the best way. It's kind of like that. And it's a
Abnett Lanning.
Nice.
Man, if they cancel this book,
oh no, I'm oh no, yeah, we're talking. Well, we're
whatever.
Talking major.
We're on borrowed time here. I mean, a Nova book has never lasted this long, you know, since the
season. You're like past E. You're just waiting for the gas to run out.
This is season 3 of Arrested Development. There's no reason to exist. Whatever.
Oh, it's so good. It's 25 issues I never thought I'd see the day.
Yeah.
25 good consecutive issues that Josh liked as well.
Yeah, good stuff.
So good.
Vikings.
So good. Northlanders number 17. Did anybody else pick this up or is it just me?
Reading and trade.
Okay, well, this is a one-shot with art by Vasilis Lolos. If you like, and it was funny because I buy this anyway, but I heard Brian Wood on Word Balloon talking about it, and he kind of compared it to Creasy, to Warren Ellis's Creasy, in that it's a kind of just an examination of a fight. And it's just a single one shot, you know, two guys, two Vikings duking it out, and a lot of writing around it. I just thought it was really well done.
Hey, do you guys remember when we were talking about Kick-Ass a long time ago and I had a simple two-word explanation for it?
Yeah.
Well, it turns out that we have a new champion.
Yep.
Back to Brooklyn number 5. This is the last issue of this miniseries, and it is fucked up.
Oh, man. So that happened over and over.
Oh, my God.
I read this book first on my stack, and I was just like, oh, No. When he took the shotgun to his wife's face.
Oh, yeah.
That's when you knew it wasn't going to be normal.
No, you knew a while ago. He threw his mother over an overpass an issue or two back.
And then when his brother chopped his fingers off, and then when he stabbed his brother in the eye, and then when his brother stabbed him in the neck, and then when he burned his brother's face in the oven, and then, yeah.
And then again.
It was just like, oh, God.
He was fucked up. That's all. But there was
I really wish this had a different artist. I think this would have been a much better series, but it was still good.
It was a story under all that.
It was a great story. Yeah. It was really good. I just think it would have been better received with a different artist. But
right, no, but
good.
I'm saying it wasn't just a bunch of fucked up things. There was a story going on. It didn't have a happy ending. But
when it got fucked up really was not when the blood started flowing. It was when the reveal happened halfway through.
Yeah.
And you found out who else was in on the crime. You were just like, all right, this is fucked up.
Yes,
it was more
fucked up than normal.
You know what this actually also is missing? Is that while it was nice to see the artist's sci-fi work that he did in the back of the book, I kind of missed the Jimmy Palmiotti Tales of the Old Neighborhoods.
Exactly. That is also fucked up.
No Jimmy Palmiotti missing things.
Yeah, that was a con to this book, is that I want more Tales of the Old Neighborhood.
He's off cavorting down old South America way in Florida, and and he's not writing his stuff down, and that's not cool. Because that was better than any work he's done on anything.
This series was great, though. I mean, it was brutal, but it was great. Garth Ennis. Whew.
So next up, you got Batman in Barcelona, Dragon's Knight. What is that horrible
This
title?
Was another sort of throwback to, yes, horrible title. But similar to Spider-Man, the short Halloween, I almost said the long Halloween, and Wolverine, it was similar to the kind of book you'd get 10, 15 years ago. And this was a one-shot by Mark Waid, who's on some sort of revitalization kick that Joe Kelly's on. And it's a Bruce Wayne story from when he's in Barcelona fighting Killer Croc with the Barcelona.
Wait a minute. Isn't Batman Bruce Wayne dead?
It doesn't matter. It's the one-shot story. It's like twice as long as a normal book. And
the story doesn't count.
Killer Croc goes to Spain, and Batman chases him down, and it was good.
Does it end? Good night, Barcelona. Good night, Killer Croc.
It did, which was weird.
Good night, Euro.
But it was in Spanish, so it was fine.
Buenas noches, El Croco Killer.
Who was the art by? The art was really good, too. It was by Diego Almos, which was also good.
Ron said El Croco.
Did.
That's not even pigeon Spanish. That's just...
El Croco Killero.
Yeah, El Croco. All you do is add an O to it in Spanish.
Yeah. Did you hear that? That's listeners going away.
If you're one of those people that are pissed off that Bruce Wayne's dead and you're mad, you can pick up Batman of Barcelona, Dragon's Knight.
Was it good? Would you rate it?
Yeah, it was real good. I rated it a 5. This is one of the 5 books. It was a really solid one-shot Batman Bruce Wayne tale and really good art and really good, interesting, you know, he's got a girlfriend there, of course, because he's got a girlfriend everywhere. And, it was nice. Man. So if you're missing Bruce Wayne, pick it up.
He's a straight pimp. User reviews are up next. We like to talk about some of the stuff that you guys read that either we didn't talk about or didn't have a chance to read. First up is Quinn, which is the great name from Reign of Fire. Christian Bale.
Quinn! Bring him to me, Quinn.
Seriously, everyone go see Reign of Fire.
iFanboy approves. iFanboy
approves.
Never.
We should do an iFanboy special edition podcast on Reign of Fire.
We should!
We totally should.
I think we just found one. Anyway, Quinn...
Bring him to me, Quinn! Chomping on a cigar.
Y'all having a real good time at your party, right? he's talking about
the best Matthew McConaughey ever.
Well, it's up there. Yeah.
No, what's better than that?
The classic, The Dazed and Confused. They're both right up there.
That's a bit. See, that's a little.
See, the thing about Dazed and Confused is that you think he's acting, but he's just playing himself.
That's true. He is.
Yeah. So, at least the Man of Fire.
But also, Christian Bale, also Gerard Butler.
Yeah.
From 300, isn't it?
And they do a Star Wars play.
Yep.
Which was brilliant.
Yeah. Madame Xanadu number 11, that's what we're talking about, right? This is an Eisner magnet, this title. Gave the story a 5 out of 5 and the art a 5 out of 5. And 0.21%, that's less than 1%, of the iFan base made it their pick of the week at the time of recording. He says, in that and many other ways, Madame Xanadu is the more the spiritual child of Sandman than any other Vertigo book I've read. There are differences, of course, in content and form, but the similarities run deep enough that any fan of Sandman who, like me, has longed for a comic book in the same vein, something to fill the hole left when Gaiman went to write mediocre novels, should be reading that book. That was a lot of clauses.
Did you yawn in the middle of that?
We're trying not to
burp. Was that one sentence? It was all one sentence?
No, it was, but there was a lot of...
It took a lot of oxygen.
If this was an English paper, I might have marked that up a bit.
I'm waiting patiently for the trade to come out, which is still not out yet.
DC.
That's unusual because it's a Vertigo book. You think they would have been? They're usually better on top of this stuff, but I think it's out in July or something like that. But I have it on my list to buy.
This is the Wagner book, right?
Yes.
Yeah, Matt Wagner, not Martin Wagner. Martin Wagner was the Hepcats guy who disappeared mysteriously.
Whoa.
No, seriously.
So it would be weird if that was him. It would be his return. Yeah. He came back to write a Madame Xanadu comic.
He got an Eisner for it, though.
Josh, are you reading this in issues or
no?
It sounds like it's up your alley.
Yeah, why do you say that?
Vertigo.
You like Sandman?
Like Sandman?
I guess.
I don't know. Yeah. You like Gaiman? You don't like Spider-Man? You don't like fun?
Yeah. But actually, Sandman and Gaiman are not at all associated with this, other than what this guy said in his review.
I know, but
so I didn't really put that together. And if I had, I haven't read any of that offshoot stuff from Sandman because I don't know. Was what it was. I've moved on. I don't know. This wasn't a book that I would have even looked at for whatever reason.
I feel like you're 2005 era Josh right now.
I think you're just looking for. I wasn't interested in the book.
I don't like any of this stuff. Should I go to the store once a month now? Buying three books.
I went to the store twice this week. I am 2005 Josh. I've been reading Queen and Country going, this is the best fucking thing ever.
It is. It really is. P. Dalor. Whatever that is. He reviewed Dark Reign, The Hood, number one. Story of 4 out of 5, The Art of 4 out of 5, and 0% of the users picked it as the pick of the week. And P. Dalor says, artist Kyle Hoetz and writer Jeff Parker stay true to the Bendis-era elements, such as The Hood's relationship with Madame Mask and is struggling with Dormammu, but they also play up Vaughn-era material that's been largely minimalized or ignored. They remind us that the Hood is at heart a street-level criminal, but they also remind us that he started out as a fairly good-hearted guy who hated the idea of killing someone. And I actually don't know why, but I bought this and read this.
Was it any good?
It was all right. I gave it 3 stars. It was interesting enough that I would buy number 2.
Yeah, I just found it interesting. I mean, that this is of all the offshoot Dark Reign offshoot books. I think this would be. I wouldn't read it. I don't know why. I don't have any interest in the Hood. I didn't read the Vaughn series, but I do like Jeff Parker, so I was glad to see that he's doing something interesting with it. I guess. So. See,
I didn't read the Vaughn series either, but people who commented on it said it was very similar to that. So that's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I'm not a Jeff Parker fan. Like, I don't think it's bad. It just like it doesn't. I read a bunch of Agents of Atlas. And I was like, it's all right. It's like Connor said, it was pretty good. You know, sorry. Maybe I am 2005, Josh.
Maybe you don't like good things. No, I don't know. I think Jeff's good. I don't think he's amazing. And I don't mean that. But I've enjoyed the X-Men stuff. I enjoyed Exiles so far. But I don't read this. I haven't read Agents of Atlas. I do want to read that. I might borrow your Agents of Atlas stuff because I want to check it out.
He'll probably give them to you.
Yeah, probably.
We can make that happen.
Go to ifanboy.com/comics. There you can find every week all the comics that are being released, and you can make your own pull list. And then on Wednesdays or Thursdays, you can come back and you can rate and review your comics. And it's great. So many people writing reviews, and everybody's commenting on each other's reviews. And we might pick your review to read on the show. So that's something to look forward to. So go to ifanboy.com/comics.
Great thing about user reviews is I keep writing them, and they keep staying. No, that doesn't work.
Blew it.
Yeah.
So we gave you all your homework. You have to go watch Reign of Fire, and if you can do that through Netflix, because I'm sure they have it, they've got over 100,000 titles with no late fees and free shipping both ways, with Blu-ray titles that cost just a tiny bit more, with fast delivery, and the majority of their shipments ship from their facilities in one business day, with plans starting as low as $4.99 a month, and you can get a 2-week free trial from www.netflix.com/ifanboy. So if you're in the United States and you haven't seen Reign of Fire, you have now no excuse because you can get a 2-week free trial. You can go do that, get Reign of Fire, watch it, return
it. They might even have it on streaming where you can watch it. You don't even need to wait for the DVD to be delivered. You can just watch it on your laptop or hook it up to your Xbox or something like that and watch it.
I'm pretty sure they don't have it streaming, because if they did, I would be watching it over and over again.
Oh, I think we're going to check that out right now.
To be fair, that is one of the only DVDs I have that I've watched in surround sound that actually scared me with a sound effect. Like,
really?
Something came up from behind and I just wasn't expecting it. I was like, ah! And the streaming doesn't work like that. Reign of Fire.
Not
man.
On streaming. You can get it on Netflix.
Get the Blu-ray.
Rating it 5 stars. Boop. 5-star rating.
Yeah, good stuff.
There we go.
Man, we are way behind because we're off track.
Somewhere, isn't it?
Well, I'm sure you can.
It's such a damn good movie.
All right, so this week we're not doing any emails because we have let the voicemails pile up. But normally you can send us an email at contact@ifanboy.com. We do a couple on the show or on the video show sometimes, or just write back to you. because that's how we roll. But this week we're going to skip them because we got a bunch of voicemails to do. Plus, right. We talked about Rain of Fire for 25 minutes.
We could do that too easily. All right. Our first voicemail has got a question for me.
Hey, hi, fanboy. This is Joe in Rock Hill, South Carolina. I'll keep it short. Ron, 90s X-Men cartoon. Go.
I guess Connor and I are going to just take a powder now because he doesn't need us.
Yeah, Joe. You don't care what we think. You
know
what?
Hey, man. People want the Whatever. Goods.
Whatever. I'll be over here slaying dragons.
So the 90s X-Men cartoon series probably can go down in history, like its little claim to fame, is that is the last cartoon series I watched on a regular basis, like when it was on, when it was first aired.
The producers like, talk about that a lot.
Yeah, they do. They're like that Cyburn kid in Long Island, we had him.
Not even the Simpsons?
Well, no, I meant like cartoon, like comics cartoon type thing. I did drop off of The Simpsons in like 99, 2000. But anyway, no, the last, all the superhero, like Justice League and all these ones have come out over the years. I watch here and there, but I never religiously watch them. The X-Men cartoon, I was there. It's the first Saturday morning. I remember watching it. I remember loving the opening intro with all the character names.
And I watched it as well. It was good. I have a question for you, though.
Yeah.
Have you watched it lately?
I actually have recently because on Marvel.com, they're playing them. You can go watch them on Marvel.com again. And I have gone back and watched them since then. And I thought I would be a lot harsher on them, but it was fun. They're fun.
They don't hold up.
Well, a few things do. Honestly,
all the Dini Tim stuff holds up.
Well, the thing is that those are in two different classes. The Dini Tim Batman stuff was art. Whereas this was a Saturday morning cartoon. It was straight up, I mean, it is on par with the Wolverine movie in my mind. You know, like the stories don't really necessarily make sense. They're not true to the comics, but they're fun to watch and all the characters are there and Gambit's got an accent and, you know, and Wolverine's not Australian like he was in the 80s. For those who don't...
He also has shrimp on his claws.
For those who don't get that reference, there was a pilot of a cartoon series for the X-Men like in what, like 84, I think? Or
Pride
85?
Of the X-Men.
Pride of the X-Men. You can get it. If you go to a con, you can probably buy it on some bootleg or whatever. And I actually have a VHS copy of it.
I do as well.
And the first episode was Kitty Pryde joining the X-Men. And it was like Claremont, Byrne, Smith era team. And Wolverine, for some inexplicable reason, has an Australian accent.
And Duke, and the guy who plays Duke was the voice of Cyclops, which is
I was
going
to say, exactly, yeah, Duke was Cyclops. So, and you recognize a lot of voices from G.I. Joe and Transformers in that show. But I like the 90s cartoon. I don't watch it regularly now, but I watched it regularly back then. And I remember actually getting pissed, and I stopped watching it when they tried to do Dark Phoenix, and it was all not like the comic. And that's when I said, all right, I'm done with this.
Hmm. Yeah. Josh, any thoughts?
Not really.
Fair enough. All right.
that show seems to be the people who like Gambit. Like it from that show.
Yeah. You know what's good about that show?
That show did wonders for Gambit's fan base.
That show did wonders for comics. I think there's a lot of people who read because of that cartoon show, especially now. And that's a really good thing about it. So that was a very political answer on my part.
You're making a silver lining out of a cloud.
I just didn't really care, that's all. Just like I don't care about the X-Men now.
All right, well, let's get a voicemail about something you do care about.
This is Brandon from Manville, New Jersey. I have a question for Josh. It's about last week he pulled Secret Six number 9 for his pull list, and I was really happy about that. I'm a big fan of the series. And he didn't seem to mention it on the podcast. I was just wondering what he actually thought of it. Thanks. Goodbye.
Ooh, I got one for me. I caused
a
little...
And one that we've never heard before.
I caused a little furor. People were like up in arms.
I just say a really short guy screaming in German about white supremacy.
How could he?
The little Führer.
You know what we need to do? We need to do one of those internet Hitler videos about Josh reading Secret Six.
Oh, yeah. Oh, with the mustache? It's
funny for 10 people.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Tens.
And we'll be three of them.
Tens.
I'm sorry.
There's a show that's going to be coming out this next week based on the Audience Demands It thread. If you remember a little ways back, not too long ago, we put a thread up that said, what do you want us to read? And out of that came several books that we read. We each picked one and read it, sort of like we did with the manga show a while back.
The top three voting books we did.
Yes, and we will be talking about those books on the video show that comes out later this week. So you will find out. Well, you might find out what I said about Secret Six, which happened to have been the top requested book for us to talk about.
For you to talk about.
So that's why.
Overall, it was the top voted getting book overall.
Yes. So that's why I didn't talk about it on the show.
But everybody saw you pull it that week, and they were like, "Well, listen, why didn't you talk about it?"
I can be honest about it. I mean, I could have been dishonest. I could have not marked that I picked it up. But I said, "Hey, you know what? Let's fuck with people." That's what I did, and it worked. Woohoo!
You know, it's funny that it wasn't that long after we did the thread too, so people immediately seemed to have forgotten.
Yeah.
Why did he pick that book up? We just asked you to pick books, and you all picked Secret Six.
All right. Our next voicemail's got a question about an older book.
Hey, guys. My name's Brett. I live in New Hampshire. I'm a little back in time right now reading through The Max, and I'm in love with it. I'm in love with the characters. I'm in love with the story. I'm in love with Sam Keith. So I have a question for you guys, two, actually. Did any of you guys read The Max, and what are your thoughts on it? And can you guys recommend any other Sam Keith work, either art or story, anything he wrote? That's it. Thank you guys for all that you do. I really appreciate it. Take care.
Well, Brett, I'm right there with you. I love The Max, and I'm a big fan of Sam Keith. And it's funny that you should call in, because if you go to ifanboy.com or look on the podcast feed, the episode right before this one is an hour-long interview with Sam Keith that I did. We jumped on the phone to talk about his new book, My Inner Bimbo, from Oni Press, as well as The Max came up and The Max cartoon and his work on Wolverine and Batman. And I'll be honest with you, he's an interesting guy. It was definitely one of the more unique interviews I've ever done. And so if you like Sam Keith and if you like his stuff, go listen to that episode. And if you like his work, you know, if you didn't read his stuff at DC, you know, Four Women or Zero Girl, go pick that up, or pick up My Inner Bimbo, which recently came out from Oni Press. And sounds like he's got a couple of Batman projects coming up soon as well. And he did a Batman Lobo series a couple of years ago as well.
I read The Max when I was a kid.
Max was great. Max was great.
When it first came out with Image, and I didn't understand a word of it.
What was so funny was that if you, I don't know if you guys listened to the interview yet, but he's like it's awful. I don't know why all you people like it. He's like, I just and like even more so than the typical self-deprecating artist. He's like oh man, it's bad. And it's like wow.
I don't know if it was bad or not. I know. First of all, he was so unique.
Yep.
In his art at the time, nothing else looked like. Nothing else still looks like his art.
Yeah, totally.
So as a kid, I was like, "Wow, this is very interesting," but I didn't understand a word of it. Yeah. Also interesting is that I actually got a show made out of it, which I watched on it.
He was the first '90s comic book cartoon. Like he was a trailblazer before Spawn was on HBO and all this stuff. Max was on MTV, and it was like, and it was mind blowing. It was just he definitely. Not the likely person to have the success that he did in the 90s with it, and I can't think of a better book for that, because it was just so unique.
It's definitely, I mean, think about it, the weirdness of it makes it even more unlikely that he had all this success, because it really was out there.
I remember that book was like, when it came out, like when the issue came, like I remember waiting for the next issue. It was like, oh, when they had the big reveal, oh, it was just great. It was so good.
I was a huge Pitt fan.
No, you weren't.
I know. I couldn't even pick Pitt out of a lineup.
Yeah, I know, you actually, the funny thing is you
could. He looks a lot like the Hulk.
No, but it's been like seven times where you're like, who's that guy? I'm like, it's Pitt. I'm like, what?
That's like watching a movie with my wife. Move on.
Yeah, anyway. So, all right, so our next voicemail's got a question about wants to bring the funny.
She's right behind you.
She isn't. I looked.
Hey, hi, fanboy. This is Adam DeMars from Des Moines, Iowa. And just had a question for you quick. I really like a slice of humor with my comics. So I really enjoyed the JLA, JLI, Keith Giffen stuff, and I'm reading the new Deadpool by Daniel Way. Any more artists or writers with a series that does a good mixture of action and humor? Thanks.
There are actually more funny superhero action books than you might think. There aren't tons of them, but they're out there. You mentioned Deadpool. Secret Six, which we just talked about, is also apparently a funny book.
Yep.
I won't ask Josh, but I know people who read it say it's funny. And, you know, Amazing Spider-Man's funny. I think Amazing Spider-Man's very funny. And
even Ultimate Spider-Man.
Yes.
Yeah. Well,
Bendis writes funny stuff. So, like, New Avengers has always got funny bits in it. And there aren't, like, a lot of straight-out comedy books, but there's a lot that feature funny stuff going on.
Yeah. And also, if you like the Giffen DeMatteis stuff from JLA, JLI, you might want to look. A couple of years ago, they did some work for Boom Studios. They did a book called Hero Square, and I think another one, which were in that same voice and tone and manner, humorous kind of superhero book. So you can get those in trade. You can go to Boom Studios and check that out. That's an option as well.
You want to not read David Laugham.
Yeah.
That's the opposite of what you want. Just saying.
All right.
And Garth Ennis is very funny in the midst of his
It's true. Oh, go get the pro. Get the trade of the pro from Image with Garth Ennis and Amanda Connor art. That's funny as hell. Mm. It's also screwed up, but it's funny.
Oh,
yeah. All right, our last voicemail's got a question about Wolverine Origins. Yay.
Hey, fanboy. This is Cameron from Lock the Center. I am calling because I have recently played the X-Men Wolverine Origins video game. Now, I know you guys weren't huge fans of the movie, but the game is pretty badass. So I was wondering if either of you guys got a chance to play that and what you thought. And also, what are your favorite video game adaptations of comic book, maybe comic book movies or comic books in general or whatever? All right. Love the show, guys. Bye.
He said we weren't big fans. That's an understatement.
Well, it's funny that he should ask about this specific game.
Well, yeah, Ron and I played around with it sort of recently on the Xbox, and it was better than the movie.
It actually was. It looks really good. The gameplay got a little redundant for me.
It's a button masher. Is what it is. Like you get a new power. Like it's neat, and the mechanics are neat, and I don't have any patience for button mashers, quite honestly. But I played it for a little while, and I had fun while I was playing it. Like, they made it interesting enough that was kind of cool, and the lunge. I like the lunge.
And when in doubt, lunge.
Yeah, I was just lunging left and right. But
lunging across great distances.
Yeah.
It was just like no running start, just So superhero video games, probably the Lego Batman game.
It's fun. A lot of fun.
Yeah.
Josh, we had a lot of fun playing Marvel Alliance, Ultimate Marvel Alliance, that was cool.
I think I had fun playing it with you, but I don't know if I would say I liked the game, if that makes sense.
No, but we had fun in the act of doing it. We did it for many hours.
Yeah, but it was a button masher in the same way. Like, I can't
similarly think. Justice League is like that. Same exact game pretty much as the Marvel.
Both the Ultimate Spider-Man game on Xbox that came out like right before Xbox 360 came out, and then recently the Spider-Man Web of Shadows or whatever that I was playing on the Wii. I played and enjoyed, not for the game, but because I'd spend like 45 minutes just swinging around the city.
Yeah.
Spider-Man 2 is, I think, the gold standard of superhero games in that it immerses you in this whole world. You can do whatever you want.
Yep.
And similarly, it's like the same engine as Ultimate Spider-Man. It's almost the same game, but those are like, to me, the gold standard.
Any superhero game
should be like that.
I think the first Spider-Man game, the first movie one that I had on my, I guess it would have been my PlayStation. That was probably my favorite one ever. I haven't fallen in love with a lot of them, to be honest.
Oh, you know what I was playing? I put my friend put the Homebrew channel on my Wii so I can play NES and SNES games, stuff like that, and I played the NES Captain America and the Avengers game.
Ooh.
And I got to be Hawkeye and Captain America, and it's like a side-scroller. It's awesome.
You got to be Hawkeye?
Yeah, I got to be Hawkeye, yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
My favorite game of all time is still Star Wars Masters of Terras Kazi.
Thakor, Chewbacca.
Chewbacca. that was good. Horrible.
Well,
in the same vein,
there's that the DC one you've got, right? You've got that one.
I have, yeah. Mortal Kombat, DC versus Mortal Kombat.
And again, like the Ultimate Alliance game, we have fun playing it with each other.
Yeah, it's more like that because you sort of like you spend a lot of time talking about it, but like I've tried to play it by myself.
Well, we played by yourself, but when the three of us got together and played that, we were laughing to the point of tears.
Oh, we were. We totally were, but like what I'm saying is after you guys left, I was like, well, let me try to play this game and beat it, and I was like, all right, that's enough.
Crouch kick. The Joker's the best in that game. I love that.
We're not good gamers, though. So
we're casual gamers. Hence, we drool over the Lego games. Like, ooh, Lego.
I get bored.
Well, it's funny because I was thinking about that because I was playing Mario Kart the other day, and I thought, I'm getting good at this. I should go online. No, I shouldn't.
Oh, I love playing online on Mario Kart. It's so much fun. All right, so if you have any questions for us, call the voicemail line at 1-888-FANBOYS. It's 1-888-326-2697. We'd love to hear from you. Keep it short, 30 seconds. Tell us who you are and where you're from.
And before we told you there would be a giveaway, and in fact there was. Ron, do you have who's got the list of the things that our winner gets?
Yes. So in this particular giveaway, random giveaway, the winner will be receiving volumes 1 and 2 of the Flight anthology
from Image Comics. It's
beautiful.
They're big. They're big books. They're 300 plus pages each.
As well as a very special Wolverine coffee table book. What is it called?
Wolverine Inside the World of the Living Weapon, and it's one of those coffee table big books they put out in conjunction with the movie, and this was one of the book publishers, DK, but it's a big hardcover Wolverine retrospective book.
So we've got two ends of the spectrum. We got Wolverine, and we got some indie comic anthology stuff. So
that's very nice.
It's a nice takeaway.
The winner is Angela Pahman, who you may know as a comic book girl. That's her web handle, and she's a member. She was randomly selected, and she's been around forever.
She's been a long-time supporter of the fan base, and we thank her, and we've hung out with her at cons, and we randomly pick a winner, and it came up her, and I was glad to see that she got something. So congratulations, Angela. We'll be contacting you to get your mailing info and all that kind of stuff.
Cool. Well, congratulations. Yes. Get over to ifanboy.com. You can check out Ron's written pick of the week review. You can check out all the other articles and stuff that went up this week and every week. There's so much good writing that happens there. You can pull your books and check out your whole pull list, and you can have that and all sorts of cool stuff. Go to ifanboy.com/about to see all the social network things and links and stuff like that. Yeah.
Don't forget to check out the Sam Keith interview on the feed if you didn't hear it yet.
Or you can just stream it directly from ifanboy.com.
Yep.
While you're on iFanboy, you can go to iFanboy.com/store. That's where you can find the membership information. But you can also buy the t-shirts there. You can buy the Power of Responsibility t-shirt for $15. It's a limited edition shirt. And the first shirts went out in the mail this week. We had them for pre-order last month. This 2 weeks ago, the shirts came in. The first batch of orders went out. So if you ordered one, if you pre-ordered one, you should start seeing yours within the next week or so.
Yes.
So go check that out. The orders have been going out. It's a limited edition. Only 250 shirts are printed. So you don't want to miss out like you did on the Herm shirt. We've gotten a lot of people who missed that emailing us. So if you don't want to miss out on this one, go to ifanboy.com/store and pick yours up today. We've already sold out of some sizes too, so better get on it.
Get on there quickly. And also head over to ifanboy.com/Amazon, where if you got to buy any video games or movies or DVDs or CDs or MP3s or anything like that, go to ifanboy.com/Amazon. You can see our picks. We make some picks of things that we recommend, as well as the books we talk about in the video show. A lot of you have been using it recently. We want to thank you. Keep using it because it helps us out. So go to ifanboy.com/Amazon.
We've already talked about the video show that is going up this week. It's the Audience Demands It show. You'll see what we thought of these books that you wanted us so badly to read, and you'll see what they are when the show comes out. This last week was a vault show. We talked about books that we definitely loved. They were books of unusual sizes, because that's the best thing we could do to tie them together with one another. So if you want to know about three really great just graphic novels or books, check out that show and then look for a new one this Wednesday.
Cool. And like I said, if you need to contact us, you can email us at contact@ifanboy.com or leave a voicemail at 1-888-FANBOYS. That's 1-888-326-2697.
And if you like the show, please write a review on iTunes for this show and for the video show. It's really helpful in helping people find shows they're looking for. We really appreciate it. And even better than that is to tell your friends, people who like comics who don't know about the show, people who would love, you know, to hear about comic discussion, things like that, listen to the show. Introduce your mom to the podcast. Introduce your grandmother.
Yeah.
And then record that session of you trying to introduce your grandmother to a podcast.
How does this iPod work again? Where Jeez. Do I put the
cliche old lady voice? I love it.
When I was in Ireland, I sat next to a table with a woman who sounded like that, and she kept asking the same question over and over and over again.
Are you going out to surf today?
Yeah, we were surfing in Ireland. I don't know.
Oh, God.
It's a lovely holiday.
And don't forget, at ifanboy.com/store, you can check out the membership stuff that we talked about at the top of the show. We're not going to mention it again. So cool. And don't forget to sign up in 2 weeks. We're going to be doing the big giveaway, that Walking Dead compendium, man. I feel it's hard to let that one go. Yeah.
So listen, when the emails come in this week and you say Josh sucked this week, I'm going to go ahead and own that right now. You don't have to send those. That's what I'm saying.
Why?
Yeah, Josh also went to the store on Wednesday this week.
Yeah. It's been a stellar week for Josh.
I was totally on autopilot.
Summer of Josh.
Summer of Josh. What summer is it again, dear?
Until next week, I'm Ron.
I'm Connor.
Hello.
Who is this?
Are the Germans attacking again?
Just don't mention the war.
Jokes keep going to the Nazis. I don't know why.
Because it's always funny. The Little Fuhrer. Come on. I want to do a webcomic now called Little Fuhrer.
No. You can do it on your own.
It's not a great Northern Media project.
he's all blustered and bah, 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 and they're just like, oh, just Little Fuhrer.
Fat girl is poison.
Poison. You never trust a big button to smile.
Yeah,
I just watched Valkyrie. That's not funny.
And that
was it good?
Yeah, I really, really liked it. I know exactly why it didn't do well.
Yeah, we did a movie about the Nazis.
It was too... He totally does sound like that. Because it was too historical. It was like too... Yeah. There wasn't action. It was a lot of meetings.
It wasn't action. It was drama. It was drama.
It was, and it was a bunch of German dudes played by really good British actors, and it was really tense, and I loved it. It was great.
Yeah. Hey, did you see that Brendan Gleeson's in a Churchill movie this weekend?
I saw a trailer for that, like at the movie theater, and it was said on
HBO.
I know, and I was like, ooh, yeah. Because a lot of times Sunday. I get excited for those commercials, but then I try to watch the movie and I get really bored. But that one looked like it made me excited.
Yeah, I've already set to record.
I got to do that now, actually. Funk.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. How's your social battery doing right now? I've never used that phrase, but I instantly know what it means, and I think it's interesting because it works two different ways. Some people need to have their social battery charged, and this is the introvert-extrovert thing, and some people, you know, like, they've got enough energy for other people, but then it's time to sort of step away, and, you know, as we get to this part where winter is ending, which, again, it's opposite. I love winter. I don't need it to end. You know, you start getting together with more people, and it can be a little draining on top of every other thing that we all have going on in our lives. I just assume everybody's overburdened because I think everybody's overburdened. But it can be tough to deal with. And also, like, one of the things is, like, you can't necessarily understand why you feel that way or why it's making you tired. But it's a real thing. If you think that you could use some help with it, if you could figure out a way to make things better, therapy is a great way to help. It can give you that kind of self-awareness to know how to ride that level just right so that you feel good. You feel right. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you can give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online. It is designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule, which is, again, we've been talking about being busy, right? You got to fit that in. You got a lunch period. You can do it during that time, whichever. That's possible. You fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. I like that. There is no penalty for finding the person who is right for you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/iFanboy today. Get 10% off of your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/iFanboy.